Texas continues to be pummeled by Tropical Storm Harvey. Much of the nation's attention has turned to the presidential response to the ongoing disaster in that state. President Trump is visiting Texas today with stops in Corpus Christi and Austin. He also addressed the ongoing federal response to the disaster during a news conference yesterday.
Recovery will be a long and difficult road, and the federal government stands ready, willing, and able to support that effort. Right now, the single most important thing is the safety and security of those still in harm's way.
Hurricane Harvey is the first major test of Trump's leadership since taking office earlier this year, and federal responses to natural disasters can weigh heavily on a presidency. Charles Franklin joins us now. He's a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School Poll. He's also the co-founder of Pollster.com and the founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, thanks a lot for being here.
Glad to be here.
Well, for any sitting president, how much is riding on their response to a major national disaster?
A fair bit, maybe not quite as much as folklore would have. But if you think about Hurricane Katrina and President Bush and the difficulties that came in recovery there, or think about Sandy, which hit just before the 2012 election on the New Jersey and the East Coast. Those were two large storm events with somewhat different perceptions. Obama mostly got credit for the response to Sandy, and Bush mostly got blame for Katrina. I think the one qualification there is that a lot of the immediate aftermath of a storm rests with state and local officials. The federal role really comes a bit later in its biggest component. And so, to some extent, the president may get blame or credit for how well local and state officials respond.
So as part of the beginning part where the federal role may not be as large, is part of the biggest job for the president to make sure that they're looking the role of commander-in-chief, they're being supportive, they're saying the right things, and they're not, I don't know, kicking back on a beach, sipping, you know, mixed drinks, but they're involved and they're engaged.
Exactly. And I think the being a bit of a cheerleader, being a bit of a consoler-in-chief, showing that the federal government and in that sense, the country as a whole stands behind the people who are victims of the disaster, are all part of the role of the president. I think it's important to realize, in the case of President Bush, that he didn't ignore Katrina. In fact, one of the things he gets blamed for is a picture of him looking out the window of a plane as they went over the disaster. In a different context, you might have thought that showed concern that he took a flight down there so he could see firsthand what was happening. Instead, that image became one of him somehow being disconnected from the process. So a lot of what happens is in the way it gets framed. Now, President Bush also had the misfortune of saying to his FEMA director, Federal Energy Management, or Federal Emergency Management Administrator, "You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie," at a time when it was clear that recovery was not going well. And I think that image ultimately probably had more of an impact on President Bush's reputation for dealing with that, more so than the flight over, though the flight over now is sort of the thing we recognize and point to.
And that said, how much do the actions of FEMA or other groups reflect on the president, the work that they're doing on the ground, even though the president isn't directly involved?
I think the responsibility for the management reflects on the president and his administration and his choice of leadership in that agency. President Trump has only been in office for, what, 7 going on 8 months now. Whether FEMA is prepared or not is much more dependent on how the Bush administration responded to Katrina and how the Obama administration responded post-Katrina and post-Sandy. The agency certainly has not been made over in the last 8 months. And I think those lessons from Katrina and Sandy undoubtedly make the agency better prepared to deal with the aftermath of Harvey now.
What do you think the lessons are, at least the political lessons?
Well, I think part of it is show concern, show a robust response. It's worth realizing that in Katrina, part of the problem was that, first of all, the geography of New Orleans is that it's sort of a bowl, and so when it fills up with water, it really doesn't drain very well. So we had a prolonged period of flooding there. But more importantly, we saw people trapped on rooftops for a long time before they were reached. We saw people in the Superdome not getting food and water. It was a horrible condition. Those are the things I was saying are more a function of the state and local response than of the federal response. But the federal response comes in providing temporary housing for displaced people, providing financial support for rebuilding, providing the infrastructure support for roads that may be impassable for a long time. Those are things that are much longer term. I think we'll see the imagery right now of rescues or people trapped, but that's not so much FEMA. FEMA are going to be acres and acres and acres of temporary housing, and we won't see that for some time to come.
We're talking right now with political scientist Charles Franklin about the ongoing response to Tropical Storm Harvey in Texas and beyond, as well as the impact a natural disaster can have on any presidency. And today, President Trump is in Texas, and he's being briefed on the relief efforts. He's meeting with local leaders, even while it's raining and the storm, it's still an active situation. And this seems like, you know, kind of a tough position for a president. On the one hand, a president wants to show concern, as you said. On the other hand, you've got a presidential visit in the midst of an unfolding disaster, which could cause, you know, people on the ground to divert attention from where it's really needed. It's a big deal when a president goes anywhere. Is this something that's difficult for presidents to do, to strike a balance?
It is, and it's very much a delicate political position to be in. From the accounts I've read of the president's visit today, he met with some state leaders, though my understanding is he did not meet with the Houston mayor, which may make sense. The Houston mayor probably should be spending his time in Houston rather than going off to Corpus Christi to meet with the president. And so the show of concern was there. They stayed away from Houston, so he wasn't actually in the immediate disaster zone, possibly taking away resources. But as I say, President Bush also visited New Orleans actually several times, and in showing concern may have sent one message, but in seeming to be out of touch with the difficulty of recovery sent a very different message. President Obama went to New Jersey, famously got hugged by Chris Christie while he was there, promised a response, promised federal aid, and in general escaped some of the blame for slow recovery that President Bush suffered from. I think the real issue with President Trump is going to be whether he can resist claiming to have solved the problems when those problems are clearly not resolved, say in a week or a month from now. We really don't know how long it's going to take for Houston to start to look like a semblance of its usual self. And whether the president seems in touch with those difficulties or seems to send a message that things are better than they are, that's the question of whether he falls into the trap that I think President Bush fell into.
President Trump has one different element at play here. He loves Twitter, and he's very active on Twitter. And during the hurricane, he's had some tweets related to the hurricane. Some tweets, you know, one was a book recommendation, criticism of NAFTA, another tweet. Is that kind of social media response uncharted territory for presidents?
Well, it certainly is uncharted territory. Obama used Twitter a bit, but in a much more scripted presidential way, if you will. President Trump, for better or for worse, reveals a lot more of what he's thinking through what he says on Twitter, both for the good and for the bad for his image or his policies. I think you've seen him commenting on how big this storm is, which is absolutely correct. This is by far a record-setting rainfall for Houston. But he's also saying, you know, people are doing a great job down there. And in terms of citizens volunteering for rescues, that seems absolutely appropriate. But as I say, we're still some time away from knowing how well the recovery operation is going, how well we're doing with managing the problems of the flooding and the aftermath. So I think we're still a few days away from beginning to get a sense of whether the president's overselling the response or perhaps presenting it appropriately.
Charles Franklin is right now. He's a political scientist, and we're talking about the ongoing federal response to Tropical Storm Harvey in Texas and also looking at the impact that a natural disaster like a hurricane can have on a presidency. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What kind of response from the president and the federal government do we need to see, do you think, after a natural disaster? And what's the best thing our policymakers can do to help people affected? How would you rate President Trump's response to Hurricane Harvey so far? And what questions do you have? Well, you can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue our conversation in a little bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation with political scientist Charles Franklin about the ongoing federal response to Hurricane Harvey in Texas and beyond. And we're talking about how a good or bad federal response to a natural disaster can affect a president's legacy. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What are you watching for when it comes to a federal response to a natural disaster? How can policymakers best help people in need? And do you think Congress will be able to get the job done when it comes to passing funding for disaster relief? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Charles, the White House and Congress will now have to find a way to approve billions of dollars in recovery funds eventually, even though they haven't agreed on a lot this year. How do you see this playing out in the coming weeks?
I would expect the president to back a substantial hurricane relief funding. We certainly spent a great deal of money after Katrina and after Sandy. Sandy relief was a bit controversial, as mostly Republican and actually mostly Texas members voted against the funding, saying that it contained too much pork barrel spending rather than hurricane relief. So there's a little bit of a political testiness there that now the relief will go for Texas. But I think the sense of the Congress and the president will be to fund that. This does come at a time when we're also going to be debating the budget for next year and the debt ceiling increase. So in that sense, it's a time to be spending a lot of money, but in the midst of conflicts over other federal budget priorities. But having said all of that, the country has a history of providing relief in the case of national disasters, and I'm sure we'll do that again.
Do you think that in general, providing disaster relief is something that's not a partisan issue, that it's not politicized, something that both sides can work together on? Is that true, or has that changed? We've been seeing some headlines in the paper about the maybe political response to aid after Hurricane Sandy.
I think that's maybe a little more politicized, but in the case of Sandy, the opponents consistently made the point that they were concerned about the implications of the deficit, and that the funding was not being taken from other programs. I think that would be the real issue this time, is whether anyone wants to argue that they're in favor of disaster relief, but only if it's paid for by taking the money from other programs. In the end, I'd be very surprised if we don't see a substantial amount of money dedicated to relief of the hurricane damage. There are also side issues for things like flood insurance and construction standards, and those things can be fairly partisan and subject to a lot of debate about how much the federal government should be specifying things like whether you can build in a flood zone and whether federal flood relief, flood insurance can be available for that. Those are issues that have actually been debated a fair bit over the last few years, and the aftermath of Harvey will simply bring those back to the table as well.
How do you expect the government to start to answer those questions? We're living in an era where climate is more, it seems, unpredictable, and it might be hard, you know, if you're on a 100-year floodplain, what does that mean now?
Well, this has been a substantial debate, and in fact, in some of the regulations that the Trump administration has been rolling back from Obama are things like construction standards that either anticipate rises in sea level, with the, which the Obama administration put in place, or whether we don't have those. And as I understand it, those regulations have just recently been pulled back by the Trump administration. So, and also the issues of whether providing flood insurance to people who build in flood zones and then suffer losses and then rebuild in those flood zones. Those are important political debates to have about whether it's sensible policy or not. But we had those debates during the Obama administration. We're now having them in the Trump administration. And the aftermath of Harvey will just, I think, demonstrate the relevance of those kinds of regulatory issues when you live, when you have a massive city and a very important economic region located in a hurricane zone and fairly low-lying land.
Now, we were talking earlier about President Trump's visit to Texas today. What do you think, based on what you've seen so far, is the president on the ground in Texas giving residents in Texas and people who are looking for leadership from a commander-in-chief, is he giving them what they want to see?
I think in some ways it's a little early to say. I've only seen some of the coverage of what he said and done today. But this is a symbolic demonstration of concern. Any decisions that he's made on this trip are things that certainly the president could have made from the White House and being in communication with people on the ground. The same can be said for Obama going to Hurricane Sandy's aftermath. He could have been informed of that. So these are symbolic visits intended to show concern and involvement in the government response. And to the extent that people are comforted by those visits or see them as a positive indication of support, then I suppose that's a good thing for the public. But it's in crafting the longer-term response that we'll really see how substantive funding is and other kinds of policy decisions for what to do in the aftermath.
Charles Franklin is with us right now, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School Poll, as we talk about Hurricane Harvey and the presidential response and the federal response. And Charles, you're a polls guy, and you looked at what happened with President Bush and the impact. As you said, he did get a lot of blame, some criticism for some missteps in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. But did he end up taking a big hit for that in terms of his poll numbers?
Right. Not a big hit in the way that people often think of big hits. During the year leading up to Katrina, President Bush had been falling in approval very steadily at about 1% a month. He had come into January a little over 50%. He ended October at about 39%. So he had fallen 12 or 13 points over that period. But he did take more of a hit during Katrina than a normal month would have hurt him given that trend. The actual decline was just 1.4 percentage points. But that was as much as he was losing in about a month and a half before Katrina. And so there was an impact, but you'd have to be a polling geek to kind of appreciate that 1.4 points is actually a pretty big hit to a presidential approval when it happens practically overnight, as it did with Katrina.
As a polling geek yourself, did that surprise you that it wasn't, I mean, even more precipitous than it was? 1.4, you say, is kind of significant when you look at the trends over a month, but would you have expected worse?
I think the popular imagination is it would have been a much bigger hit because he did take a lot of blame and a lot of negative publicity for it. I think it's simply from a polling point of view to realize that presidential approval moves fairly slowly. We very rarely see someone truly in free fall, falling at 3 or 4 or 5 percentage points a month. President Nixon during Watergate fell at about 4% a month. And so from that perspective, a big event like Katrina can hurt a president, but generally has not devastated them. On the other hand, bad events, weather events, actually some evidence from shark attacks, believe it or not, have been shown to have some impact on presidential support. And those are things that it's maybe more the president's response to that matters rather than the event itself.
And the event, of course, still unfolding, heartbreaking to watch and also inspiring at times. We're all hoping for the best for Texas and hoping for the best going forward. Charles, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
Charles Franklin is a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School Poll, also co-founder of Pollster.com. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, there have been calls for loneliness to be treated as a public health concern. We'll talk with a social psychologist about what loneliness does to us and how to address it. That plus a look at the news of the day tomorrow on Central Time. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, it's the Joy Cardine Show. Tomorrow after 7, Joy gets different perspectives on the departure of Wisconsin's DNR Secretary, Kathy Stepp, for a post with the EPA. That's coming up tomorrow morning after 7 on the Ideas Network. Coming up next, it's the news from NPR and WPR, and then we'll get the details of yesterday's budget committee meeting on education. I'm Veronica Rickert, and this is Central Time.